Pioneer announces the new lineup of high horsepower four-track tractors, including an 803 horsepower option. There's three new models introduced, the 9RX 710, the 9RX 770, and the 9RX 830. It's autonomy ready. The new John Deere 18 engine eliminates the need for diesel exhaust fluid and offers an optional 168 gallon per minute triple pump hydraulic system. Command View 4 Plus cab receives updates for increased operator comfort and visibility. Advanced technology package includes G5 Plus command center, display, and integrated Starfire 7500 receiver. The high horsepower 9RX models available for order in mid-March. For more information, go to johndeere.com or contact your local John Deere dealer.
Hey everyone, as we dive into another Farm for Profit podcast, I want to take a second to think about why it is that we as listeners like this podcast so much. And I think it really goes back to the dialogue, the stories, the camaraderie, and perhaps most importantly, the advice and ways of thinking that bring value back to our business as farmers. You know, I farm in Illinois and consult with operations all over the United States and Canada. And so many of the people that we work with listen to this podcast and understand the message of farming for profit. With Profit Manager, that's our only goal, to help you make better business decisions, make you more profitable, and help you enjoy what you do even more. The guys on here say it all the time, you know, if you don't farm for profit, you won't be farming for long. That's why I want you to go check out farmprofitmanager.com. We are here for so much more than helping you just find your true cost of production. We want to help you with knowing your equipment costs, understanding your return to management, and feeling confident in your marketing and daily farm decisions. So do yourself a favor, go check out farmprofitmanager.com and shoot me an email. We can schedule a 45-minute Zoom call to see if it's a right fit for your operation. No pressure, no sales pitch. I don't want to sell you something that you don't need. Let's just see if our team can help your farm business in 2023. When we link in, mention this podcast, and if you choose to move forward with Profit Manager, we'll offer you 5% off. This is Shay Folk with Profit Manager. Go check out farmprofitmanager.com and enjoy today's show.
Was it hard for you to delegate?
No.
Was it at one time?
Oh, not really. I trust people. And I mean, you want to be around people you can trust. They generally have an idea where I'm headed to, or, you know, it's, okay, try and make sure we're all aligned in the same direction. And it's like, you know, the production folks, okay,
right,
this is how many grain bins we want to run this year, this is how many tons we're going to be bringing in, and we want to use it up, and the sales guys know it, and so we stay pretty aligned.
Ladies and gentlemen, farmers, ranchers, and distinguished guests, thank you for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast, where we discuss the latest ideas, methods, trends, and techniques available to help your farm achieve higher levels of farm profitability. The Farm for Profit podcast is co-hosted by Tanner Winterhoff, the Iowa Bankerman, and David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, where in tandem, they will share their ideas and advice from industry experts. Thank you again for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast. Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long. And now, here's Tanner and David.
Listeners, we are back. This is Corey Hillebeau. I'm alongside Tanner Winterhoff.
Literally alongside.
The Iowa Bankerman. I'm the corn, pork, and beans, and I'm introducing a profit show today. We've gotten quite a bit of content down here at National Farm Machinery Show, and this is going to be another fantastic one.
Yeah, this is fun. This is always a great thing that I like putting into perspective, because I feel like it affects all aspects of everybody's life, even if they don't feel like they're a leader.
Right.
But we're going to talk leadership today.
Even if you're not a leader, you can take a lot of things away from it.
Yeah, because everybody can lead in their own fashion. These are talking about habits.
Yep.
That we can do with leadership. But before we get into that, if you're listening to us right now and you'd rather watch us be sitting alongside each other, you got to run over to YouTube.
Yep. Check out YouTube. And we're also putting out some cool clips on TikTok and all that kind of stuff. Trying to get into the camera game a little bit more. So we always also love suggestions and topic suggestions.
Yeah.
And guest suggestions. So farmforprofitllc@gmail.com, 515-207-9640. Send those our way.
Yeah. We are giving our sponsors an opportunity to work with us and power these YouTube clips together for you. So let's listen to a message for our weekly support today.
It might be cold out, but you're already thinking about this spring. And not spring break, but spring tillage and even spring planting. Planting season is going to be here before you know it, so now is the time to get your planter ready to plant. If you want to take advantage of the latest in planter technology, you can through a performance upgrade from John Deere. You'll take your current planter with older Max Emerge row units and replace the row units with Exact Emerge, which means you'll get all the benefits and advantages of Exact Emerge, like planting at 10 miles per hour while getting precise seed placement and uniform emergence at a fraction of the price of a new planter. Upgrading your planter starts with a conversation with your local John Deere dealer, so give them a call or visit johndeere.com.
All right, back into it. Leadership habits. This will be a lot of fun. Again, coming out of National Farm Machinery Show, Sukup was a pleasure to be a part of their booth. Great spot on the corner, right next to the food. Every time somebody got in line to get a sandwich, Corey, we got to entertain them.
Yeah, we did. We had some big crowds.
Turn the speakers on and get things ready to roll. But it's time for that conversation. One more break, and we'll get right to it. Hey, Corey, it's time to recognize our partner, Sukup Manufacturing, celebrating 60 years in the grain bin and grain handling manufacturing industry.
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, we're doing a bin project right now. We've worked with them for, what, almost 2 years now? The whole team there is just superb.
Yeah, we got to do a factory tour this last season, and they were so welcoming. It's fun to see what they do to support their employees, what they do to support their community. And I just saw, too, that Eugene, founder of Sukup, and his wife celebrated more than 70 years of marriage.
Wow, that's something to look forward to for my wife and your wife, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We thank them so much for their partnership. If you guys just want a wholesome company that's going to look out for you and put your farm's best interest ahead of you, visit SukupManufacturing.com to check out them for all your grain handling needs. Right, Corey?
That's right.
Those walking around waiting for a sandwich, don't be afraid to turn around. We have the president and CEO, correct?
Yes.
Of Sukup Manufacturing here. Our pleasure to have this conversation. Corey, we've talked to Steve before. I think our listeners know who he is, but Steve, remind our new listeners. Probably half the audience might not have heard your show last year. Who is Steve Sukup?
Well, I've enjoyed manufacturing all my life. Grew up on the farm. I've had 50 years straight of climbing a grain bin, so I like storage. I like the farming aspect. Industrial engineering is my background, so whenever we get a chance to bring some of our customers in or dealers for a plant tour, we really try and blow their shoes off or wear their shoes out on the plant tour I've been known to do.
We got the pleasure to come up and be a guest of yours and go through the tour, and I must say, very amazing. And thank you for that.
You bet.
That was such a neat experience.
And as we hit that, one of the fun facts is we brought in robotics getting close to 30 years ago, specifying the first robotics, but we've more than tripled our employment since we've got in our first robot. So it's not, they don't take jobs, they just create more opportunities, and that's what we like doing at Sukup.
Right. What kind of is the state of the union of the steel industry right now? Are we caught up? What do things look like?
Well, they have caught up. They were brutal on us for a while. I mean, I visited all our steel mills. We only buy U.S. steel produced. And so, you know, whether it's out of Ohio, Indiana, Chicago, Mississippi, Arkansas, so those are somewhere where our steel mill plants are. But when they put on the tariffs, we didn't think we'd get hit much because it was supposed to be only on foreign steel.
Right.
But our steel guys raised their prices because they could.
They could, yeah. Supply and demand.
Supply and demand. And but we always had steel. It's always been high quality. Uh-huh. And still available. So actually, lead times are just staying pretty steady right now. They're trying to inch up some pricing, but steel's available. But it's probably going to be cheaper than the last grain bin some of these folks have bought.
Okay.
But the pricing, I think our guys have really liked the latest corn and soybean pricing that they've been doing. So
it has been nice. I got to say, we've got like a $650,000 project going on, and it's all Sukup steel going and grain handling. And yeah, so it doesn't take much to add up.
Yeah, it does add up. But, well, one of the big bins we just put up at one of the ethanol plants at Golden Grain, they paid for a 2 million bushel bin in 1 year.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. 2 million bushels.
In 1 year.
So when is that the one it's hard to land the plane in?
Yeah. You remember.
So when are they putting up their next one?
This year.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
If it only takes a year to pay for it, we might as well just keep stacking them in line.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how you put up a bin that big. Like, I know how to put up, like, an 8,000 bushel bin with some bin jacks and all that. I just can't get it in my mind.
Right. No, that's pretty good. So
more,
then,
more bolts and more jacks.
How many pounds of bolts are in a bin that big?
Oh, man. I thought you were going to ask me how many quantity. They're probably about 200,000 pounds of bolts, I bet.
Wow.
So we'll see if any of my team's listening and whether they send me the email to correct me.
But they have to have literally truckloads of bolts.
Yeah, no, we'll have truckloads delivered. So, yeah.
That's fun. But then also your headquarters, you guys are expanding because you're growing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got we really confused a few people when we started saying, yeah, we're putting up an East Coast building. And all of a sudden they go, where are you guys going to?
Yeah.
I go, well, to the highway.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll put us over. We've already had over 1 million square feet of manufacturing at Souk up, and now this will put us over 1 million feet in Sheffield only. And then we've got 7 different other locations adding up. Right close to 1.5 million square feet of manufacturing and distribution.
Yeah. You have also locations overseas, right?
Yes. Yeah, we've got 2 locations. We've got 1 in Denmark. And Denmark's, you know, great country. It's sort of like, I'll call it the old Iowa, where the farmsteads have livestock, their feed, they grow their own corn and market. Yep. And so that's really been a strong area for us that way. And then we've had a partnership in the Ukraine, so we can touch on that later. Yeah, but they've had their challenges, but they're literally figuratively fighting through it. So,
well, I think we can go right into that now. What how are things?
Half of the guys are in the military. The other half, they don't like lights on. They like to make sure that they're secluded, and but there's some activity going on there.
As in business.
As in business. Right? Limited. We've had a couple of actually customers come over. One of the highlights was he had to meet me on a Saturday, which I said is fine, but it's going to be in Ames, Iowa.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So he came to Ames, and we got him introduced to a little bit of football, but he brought his military cap over and gave that to Nick, my son.
Okay.
And then I hadn't even told him what I really, really wanted was those stamps.
Oh.
And he brought me a sheet of the stamps.
Oh, really?
With a sailor out on the island.
Really?
Telling the Russians what he thought of them.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Somebody had to have leaked your secret.
they must have. And that's where with our entire company, people help across the board with each other. The Danish guys drove buses to the border, Poland-Ukraine border, and picked up 64 moms and kids.
Wow.
And brought them back. And they're still in Denmark in hostels and things like that.
Yep.
And our manager, he'll actually be here. I think they're going to try and hit the show this weekend or Saturday maybe. And then they're coming to Sheffield Monday, Tuesday. And they've just worked their hearts out. And they coordinated with Emily and some of our folks there to make it all happen. So
all this happens, Corey, because of great leadership.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about this last year, but we can't pass up the opportunity to do more for our listeners around the leadership side. Because whether you're farming as an individual, you still have to have leadership characteristics in order to be successful on your own. And a lot of these farms are continuing to grow to thousands of acres, multiple employees outside of family members, that really being an effective leader could help you become a more effective farm.
Just for our farmers, ranchers, they have to be selling what they're doing, the products. I mean, you got all the, you know, the government and what they're doing out there, so you know, all of us are always selling or marketing. But, you know, coming back to the leadership part, you just have to have that. People can tell whether you have a passion for what you're doing and whether you enjoy it. And so I sort of boil it down to the passion and whether they can tell you enjoy it, whether you can be effective in selling it, and whether they want to be around you and say, yeah, this is the team I want to be on. And I even sort of tie that back to my political days. I was in the legislature for 8 years and Speaker Pro Tem, and enjoyed it. And that's where people would support. They might not have liked every issue you were for, but especially in Iowa, I think, if they believe that the guy or gal wants the job, is passionate about it, and enjoys what they're doing and listens, that they'll give them a chance. And so that's, I think, in most of our business, they say, hey, this guy really wants my business. Yeah, I might go ahead and do it that way.
We've got listeners just like that. The passion comes through. Yep. The other guests that we've interviewed, absolutely.
Do you think that you were a natural born leader, or was that something you picked up along the way?
Oh, I think it's probably one of those halfway into your DNA. I think there has to be some DNA there that you enjoy the, you know, whether it's friendly banter or whatever, and just enjoyment. But you know, I'm sure some of the training, the 4-H days, and doing some presentations, and the woodworking and citizenship, and hogs, taking them to the fair, and stuff like that, all helped make that and you know, positive experiences. So it's always amazing how you remember the one bad thing,
but
it's easy for all of us to forget the 10 good. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, Corey and I have been going through a fitness program, a health program.
It doesn't look like it. But we have.
Don't put me on who's been more successful at it. Nope. He's going to throw me in on that one, too.
But part of that, we've learned about habits.
Yeah.
And, you know, the myth that it only takes 20-some days to make a habit is just that it. It's just not true.
What'd you say? It's like 63 days?
Right. So it takes a while to build a habit. And leaders always have interesting habits. Some are completely seem bizarre. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about some that wake up at 3:30 in the morning, they go take a cold ice bath before they read their book and meditate and hit in the sauna, all before anybody else wakes up.
Right.
To others that are more practical. So we want to talk today about some of the habits that we've identified. Corey and I also listened to another podcast that kind of helped us put some of this structure together. We want to get your feedback on those types of habits. Corey, what was the first one that we heard?
Do you wake up naturally or with an alarm clock?
Generally naturally, but my schedule's gotten off these last few years. I generally wake up at 3 o'clock and then awake from like 3 to 5, and then, you know, everything runs through your head all the time. And then if I do crash back, I might need the wake up sometime.
Is it hard to get to sleep?
No. I hit hard.
That's so, what I struggle with.
I hit hard. So I'm fortunate that way then.
Are you the type that can sleep anywhere?
I can sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
Man,
I can't wait till I get to that stage.
Nothing. Yeah, you know, nothing's better than an airplane, the head on the window seat.
Oh, yeah.
So we're in the car. Yeah, I've been known that I can sleep anywhere. Yeah.
When I get stuff rattling around in my brain, like the day before we came down here, we were prepared. But I just kept thinking about stuff. I couldn't get to sleep.
But it was like, today, you know, excited to come to the Louisville show. It's just,
right.
I don't know how many years, not necessarily in a row, but I mean, this has been the premier show we go to every year. Yeah. And you know, you're always fired up to come to Louisville. You see your customers, the dealers, farmers that you've worked with in the past or... Fortunately, this year, you know, farmers coming in and saying, hey, I worked with my dealer. This is what I bought. What do I all got here?
Yeah. So, right.
What did I get for that $650?
Yeah.
Yes. We had, we could talk to one of the commercial salesmen for this venue last night, and he said that there's over 400 vendors that are on a waiting list to come to the show. So that's been really pretty neat. But
I remember the days my dad would go like that with the show, trying to get more space. And we used to be in the north wing, I believe it is, and it's cramped in a space. And so when we landed here, this has really been a good spot.
He actually shared with us they're going to be building a new wing.
A north
wing.
Yep. And then they'll end up redoing west wing.
They're going to take down the west wing and rebuild it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, but 400 folks waiting.
Yep. Wow. 400 companies.
But no, this is the premier indoor show that if you want to see what's going on in our industry, this is the place to be. And that's why we bring in all of our product managers. That somebody's got a question or direction, we can get it handled.
Yeah. So this first habit that we were talking about, the podcast that we listened to called it the no snooze habit. So the waking up naturally is definitely something that a leader does. And probably a lot of our listener farmers don't set alarm clocks.
Yeah.
But the whole concept is it's the discipline around, if you do wake up to an alarm, don't give yourself the snooze button. If that's the time that you want to wake up, you got to start off giving yourself some good faith.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I'm probably a little flexible in the morning. If I got a project or something that needs to done, I can, to get done, I can handle it. So, but as you talked, you know, you sort of made me on that wellness project. I got to get my 10,000 steps in today.
So, oh, you will. You can do that here easy.
I know.
I think you will.
Especially I put the bar maybe a little bit on the low side there, but I'll get the 10.
Yeah, no, that's good. There's
got some good shoes on.
Yeah. There was a statistic that came out of the University of Notre Dame that said nearly 60% of people hit snooze.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, you know, probably indicative of those in leadership roles.
Yeah.
I think there was some research on that, too, that just the alarm itself is a very annoying sound. The first thing you do of the day is already starting off mad at something, right? Like, it's probably, it sets the mindset for the rest of the day.
Yeah. No, probably true.
This is, the next one is one that I really need to kind of work on myself, especially when it comes to deciding where to eat
or parking.
And Corey will say, which parking space to pick?
You know,
not everybody has big, wide parking spaces like Suka.
Yeah.
You know who?
Yeah.
I was involved in the design of those. I said, you know, I'm not going to put up with any Menards-type parking spaces here.
Yes, that was the first thing we looked for when we came up there for the tour. I was like, are these really bigger than normal? They are.
Yeah. But this habit's called pre-deciding. So pre-deciding as much as you possibly can makes you a more effective leader. So they say that anytime you have a decision that you can make ahead of time, do it. And don't think twice about it.
Okay.
So, for example, if we know tonight we're going to go out for supper, we need to make that decision now.
You got your reservations now then?
Well, we didn't. That's why I say we need to get better at it. Because otherwise you sit in the truck and you go, where are you going to go? Where do you want to go? Well, I don't know. Let's look it up. Where do you? It happens to everybody. And that's just one example.
Yeah. Well, I've got the reservations for tonight, so I guess I'm in good shape.
You are.
Yeah. But I'm always, and maybe that'll be covered, I'm one that I keep reprioritizing.
Uh-huh.
I have my A list and then the B list, and it drives drives my wife crazy. But, but you know, it's like, you know, if something.
I like that though.
But, you know, let's not be afraid to. And I guess that goes into I'm not afraid to try things. It's like, oh, well, this has moved up. This is interesting.
Right.
Let's
go after it. But I do like that. Not only just making a to do list, but what's the most important on your list?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this one here basically tells about how if you spend the entire day making decisions, and you think about our farmer listeners, that's what all Corey does all day, is search for information and make a decision, right?
Yeah, with a little computer in my pocket.
Yeah.
How many test plots you got to evaluate all and what's all happened out
there? That's – so sometimes you can get too much going on, right?
Yeah.
Where the data is actually bad. And my dad was like that. He was always on the cutting edge of stuff. You know, always had the first GPS variable rate planting and all that kind of stuff. Well, you get to the point where you have trials going and fertilizer going this way and seed that this population, this different hybrid and different tillage. It's like the data is crap. So we actually have hired a company to help us do our plots.
So you've pre-decided. Somebody's going to get you the results.
Third party have gotten taken ourselves back. So it's not no bias of whether we want that product to work or not. Mm-hmm. Right? So...
Yeah, it said decision fatigue is real. And I didn't know that until listening to this podcast, where you can just get worn out and then you start making worse and worse decisions. So if you can pre-decide that I'm going to hit on Mondays this restaurant and Tuesdays on this restaurant, you know, if you're a person that always eats out, same thing would go as the example that he made was that at his business of where they get food ordered in. They may not know exactly what the choice of entree is going to be, but they know it's going to be from this restaurant, so he doesn't have to worry about that decision. Somebody else is doing it. Same thing would be on your farm. If you pre-decide that Corey is going to be the one that checks cattle every morning, let the decision be. You go on and make the next choice
and let him deal with it then.
So that could also go into delegation.
It does. Absolutely.
Was it hard for you to delegate?
No.
Was it at one time?
Not really. I trust people. And I mean, you know, you want to be around people you can trust. They generally have an idea where I'm headed to, or, you know, it's, okay, try and make sure we're all aligned in the same direction. And it's like, you know, the production folks, you okay?
Right.
This is how many grain bins we want to run this year. This is how many tons we're going to be bringing in, and we want to use it up, and the sales guys know it, and so we stay pretty aligned. So and we got good folks through. So I believe I delegate. So I guess you can go out and get a second opinion here.
Well, hey, we just might do answer. That.
We might do that.
While you're getting your 10,000 steps in, we'll get our answers.
I just know it was. So we delegated the editing of the audio of this podcast. And Tanner, that was his baby. And that was one of the hardest things to do. But to see the stress relieve off of him after he did that was like a real world deal. Because he was staying up.
And it was like a pop bottle cap. As soon as that happened, we couldn't figure out fast enough how to delegate more things.
Yeah.
Because once you get the good feeling of someone doing a good job, producing a quality product in our instance, you know there's other people out there that probably could do it better than you. So, yeah, social media, we editing, video, audio, all things that we had done.
Which allows us to keep having fun, doing what we like.
Yep.
Doing what we're good at.
Yeah.
And keep then hire out the rest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This next one here I think probably also ties a little bit to your time in the political world, and it's called Doing the Hard Right. And the guy that we listened to on that podcast was saying that there's always a decision to make, and the results of your decision are either typically the right answer, which is a little bit more difficult, or an easier one that might not be 100% correct. It might be okay, but you know that there could be something that's more right.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
That's very hard to do. So, I mean, we're always faced with a few of those as your business and industry is changing. How do you react to it? You've got your employees that are important, or if you have done some delegating and it's not working the way you want to, how do you make that change as well? And so I think we're all faced with that accordingly. Again, it's one of those, if you're convinced inside this is the direction that needs to happen, I'm comfortable in making those work.
And that's fine as an individual. I'm really curious, how do you convey to the employee, how do you motivate the employee to make the hard right choices rather than taking the easy way out? It's Friday afternoon. Golly, I'm ready to go home.
And we need to finish this.
Yeah. Should we do the hard right or not?
Or the customer. Yeah. And that's where you can tell about, that sort of dives down to the passion. People that have the passion for what they're doing, they're not going to feel comfortable leaving somebody hanging out there. I mean, with our dryer service during the fall, they know our customers have to keep going, and, you know, they take the call 7 days a week and know the customer has to make it, or our warranty, occasionally you go, why are we doing this? But it was like, no, this is our warranty specialist. She makes the decision, and so you don't question it and say, this is what has to happen. So
the one thing I noticed when we were on our tour up there, all the employees you have, and it seemed like no one was really in charge. They all just had in a good way, right? Like, it was all a well-oiled machine. Everyone was doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I was just amazed.
That's right. It's not like there was a boss walking around saying, do this, do this next. They did. They almost self-led.
Yeah. No, that's they really are. They can make their decisions. I don't think any of our, group leaders, supervisor, it's like, okay, make the best decision with the information you have, and let's proceed that way. And so that's, I think they get that feel from all of us at the plant.
It's a culture.
Yeah. And right? We had a board meeting yesterday, and we were talking about, the culture, and ours is really set apart, and hopefully, hopefully some of those times you couldn't tell who the boss was and who the other one was, that, you were both on the same page and having a regular conversation.
Yeah, I think that culture really fits into the next item that we talked about. I mean, the quote that Craig, the podcast, stated that for the hard right, you'll never regret doing what's right.
Yep.
The only time you'll have regret is often when you chose to do something that was easy.
Let me take the shortcut.
Yep. Yeah. Typically comes with a little bit of a bad feeling.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away very quickly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. The next one's called You First Leadership. And that's what I think, you know, when you're talking about getting a whole team of people with the passion, that's what it is. You know, it's sometimes hard as you grow and expand to not think of, I did this. We talked with Matt at Farm Progress Show, and he was, his answer to the final question of the show was, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, take people with you.
Yep.
You know, and it was very insightful, but I think that's a lot of the culture you guys have.
That hits it hard, that everybody has some good ideas. You never come up with the perfect one the first time through. And right. That analogy is spot on, that yeah. You have to have a whole team, and it has to be everybody working together. And it's not an I or on it. It has to be we, or how are right. we going to get it done. So,
yeah. Has the culture always been like I described there?
Yes, that was sort of what, you know, that was with my dad. I mean, we've all taken pride that we can go through the plant and everybody can call us by our first names, and we try and make sure we can call all of our folks by their first name, and it's gotten a little more difficult these years, but that's, but at least that they feel come, hey, Steve, you know, yeah. it's good seeing you, or, you know, it's,
right.
I was at another very large family business, but we had an event, and one of the guests we had with us asked, well, who's that guy at the end of the table? And I go, that's the guy you've been working for 30 years.
Yeah.
And it that's was like, cool. I go, boy, I don't ever want that to happen, that there becomes a disconnect yep. there. So
that's true. I know a lot of people. You know, I've gone to work Christmas parties with other people, the same thing. And I go, who's that? Well, I don't know. You come to find out, it's the president of the company.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a bad yeah. sign there. Yeah. And hopefully that... hopefully we stay away from yeah. that. And I think, you know, again, it's, you know, our culture is that way through the whole plant. And whether right. it's our, you know, we're bringing in a few more new people. We got a CFO. We got, you know, HR directors and a supply chain. And, I mean,
yeah.
and they work with, you know, I'm second generation. We've got five of the third generation working in the plant and working with the plant and office and plant. And so
right.
it's been a... It's good that we keep a constant mix with everybody.
Right. Yeah. Craig Rochelle, the hoster of this podcast, stated that if you go with it in the mentality of I get the credit when things are well and I shift the blame when things are bad, you're very quickly going to lose the respect, the trust, the passion of your employees because
yeah.
they become scapegoats. So the you first leadership is what do you need from me? What can I get for you? How can I make you successful? If you're always thinking of them first, you develop some pretty strong loyalty.
Yeah. Nope, that's exactly right. And that's where I've been known, and some people don't like my short terms or my short emails. It was like when we got into safety homes, our safety manager was actually the one that came up with the idea right after the Haiti earthquake. And he asked me out on the plant floor, and at that time, I said, sure, as long as it's an 18-foot diameter bin, which was our smallest standard one. And then my later came up with an email. He sent down his different things he wanted to do, and my email was build a prototype.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, three words, build a prototype, yeah. and, you know, it's not gonna affect us. So, but, you know, but it's made a huge effect out in the
right.
different countries. And so it's one, let's try it, and
yeah.
we'll learn from it.
There's a safety home here, right? Isn't it Global Serve?
Yeah. Global Serve. Yeah. 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 They usually yeah. are, and yep. we team up with them at different events, yeah. the Farm Progress shows. We'll be at the Iowa Speedway this summer with one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Yeah. We like, and they are a game changer for these, some of the third world countries. So,
yeah. But you guys do that with your employees at the plant anyway. I mean, the you first style leadership is prevalent everywhere. We got to tour the clinic. Corey and I got to go into the clinic.
Yeah, talk about one out in what I'd call left field. I go, I didn't say sure. I said, really?
Yeah.
And that was Emily, daughter Emily, and Samantha, HR. And they said, no, we think this would be important. I go, okay. So they tried it. And that's what we're sort of building. This year's our 60th anniversary of being in business. And so we're trying to do a little bit of celebrating with that and, you know, highlight the exactly the things you guys have been mentioning of everybody working together and the input and, you know, the patents and progress that's been made throughout our company.
Heard you're going to be a TV star here soon.
Well, I'm going to Nashville.
Yeah, right.
They're not giving me a guitar and they're turning off my mics.
Oh, he's just there for the good looks then.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's no guitar and no mics.
Question on who do you look to as like a mentor, or like another company, another person that, who's Steve Sukup's mentor?
I've got, just quickly going through, and some of it comes back to college. I had a good friend. He was just game on. Occasionally went to class, but he was one of those guys that goes, he's going to land on something.
Yeah.
And he did. Roger Underwood out of Ames, Atlantic, Iowa originally, and man, he was just a go-getter, and quite frankly, I wanted to hire him as a salesman, but I knew my dad and brother couldn't take him because he was just full bore.
Yep.
And he'd always be pushing the limits on something.
Sure.
And then another one of my friends from college, and it's Kent Feeds, but it's grain processors down in Muscatine. I mean, I don't, you know, 4,000 employees, just one of those classic family businesses. Mm-hmm. That's quiet but just has an impact across
right.
the country with things. And then a good friend, Dan Keogh, he's out of Des Moines, Holmes Murphy and Associates. Okay. But he's really grown the company, and he's really one that you watch how he works with his people. They
uh-huh.
they take it to another level. We think we do a pretty good job, but
yeah.
He really does a nice level there at Holmes Murphy.
Is there like a group that you get together with these people and share ideas, benchmark, or things like that?
Yeah, no, we always, it's usually at maybe just an off-the-cuff type situation, but just sort of monitoring, making sure you're staying grounded, but then, you know, sort of seeing what's new out there. You know, it's, I mean, whether it's like Roger's now involved with Pivot Bio, which I really am going, how's that? And it seems like they're going to have some...
Because they got niche. Seed treatment
and stuff. So anyway, so it's like, how does that all fit? And then you think back to yours, how can we help? So, yeah.
It's just interesting to think about you'd love to say that every idea comes from internally, but
if you don't get out and see, and that's why I love the show, walk around, see where the activity are. And, you know, as Nick and my son, we were just walking around, and, you know, there was one great big TV screen that had great history, and I was the only one watching it.
Yeah.
And then another place, there was a big TV screen, or, you know, that sets the screens up, the wall of TVs, and there was 30, 40 people watching that one. I go, we got to figure out why some people are not
That's
watching
right.
this. Why am I the only one watching this one, learning the history of the company?
Yeah.
And everybody else is watching this one and what's going on. So anyway, right. that's some of the things we need. You know, keep your eye out open and listen. That's always the part. You learn
right.
You learn more.
Yeah,
learn
you got
more
two ears,
way.
One mouth.
Yeah.
Two ears, one mouth. You can say over and over again, it's still so hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Craig had wrapped up that last one basically by saying that, you know, you have to show people you care about them. But it doesn't mean you have to like everybody. Which is, that's a hard concept.
Was he talking to me or you?
I don't know. Probably both. I don't know.
But it's a hard one because as I was listening, I was thinking about it. You don't have to like somebody, but you have to still show them. Not tell. Like, be sincere about how much you care about their success, care about their development, even though you may not like them.
Yeah. No, and that's, I think, a little bit, we pay 100% of our health care costs at the plant for the individual, the clinic. We've got some new parental leave program that we've introduced this year. So, you know, just on the structured side, we're doing some of that. But then, you know, going through the plant.
We learned about the company picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really neat benefit.
And we're going to try and do some special things this for the 60th anniversary one.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get you up for a steak meal.
That sounds good.
At the golf
course.
Sounds
a little heavier than a picnic.
Yeah. No, and cotton candy.
And cotton candy.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Getting to know your price here. So.
No, that's pretty cool. I mean, clearly, Sukup has had success.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have ran this successfully as a family business, which a lot of our farmer listeners are running family businesses. Yeah. And it's admirable.
Yeah. And no, it's been one, and that's, we've been fortunate to be part of agriculture. The last 20 years, we've grown the business 10 times larger. And it hasn't been on the products we were making before 2000. It's all the product development that we've done. And hopefully that's been part of what I've encouraged is turning people loose of saying, hey, people have made portable dryers for 20 years. We got to find something different with our new one we're coming out with in 2000, which we did.
Yeah.
And then making the grain bins, sitting down, you know, okay, what does everybody like about the grain bins? What do we have to get done? And you know, John and Brad and the crew really turned loose on that.
Yep.
So we've hopefully doing a few things different than everybody else. And when they call into Suka, they're asking for Jason or Jennifer or Liz or John, and they're calling for, or no, I got to talk to Steve. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what we think we set ourselves apart from some of our competition.
Really? So 60 years of Suka this year. What's the next 60 years look like?
Oh, well.
What are you most excited about?
Mostly. We want to tie all our, right now when you go to a grain bin site where you're bringing in your harvested grain, you're bringing in your crop, your cash for the next year is coming in that 3 to 6 week period. We want to make sure that we're getting you the best information that you can, whether on the quality, what's in your grain, moisture content for sure, but to keep it in the best condition. And, you know, yeah, we're always scared in the drying, but, you know, you look at your tickets and go 13.6, 13.6, 13.7.
Yeah.
I would have felt better at 14.5, 14.5, 14.6.
You're losing money at
You're losing money at that point. Yep. So it's one, how we can help our customers. You know, maybe it's part of the world where we're touching all their grain, that it's the carbon sequestering or carbon credit. How does that fit? We're all having to change a little bit with the new world out there. So it's still tying through, and as long as I can do my everything on an iPhone, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So
in all reality, the grain is kind of, I mean, the carbon capture, like that's the benefit, or that's the result.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's little carbon credits.
Sure.
Yep. 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 So that's what we have to do, or whether it's then with our soybeans, you know, the crush plants that's going up, of how they're going to do it, or the biofuels.
Yeah.
So,
do you still get, this is off the wall, do you still have some ties to the political system? Are you still informed more than
Yeah, well, Kentucky, I get together with Rand Paul a couple of times a year. So Senator Paul, libertarian, so it sort of fits my model a little bit more. So I always appreciate his comments with things. And so, yeah, we still stay active.
Have you been briefed on all these balloons we're shooting down?
Well, I was disappointed we didn't have one here so that we could motor around, check out the competition. I think you're onto something there,
like
Corey, for us. Yeah, see what everybody else is doing.
It feels like we're living in a simulation of some sort, like, or, you know, they want us to see these things over here. What are they doing over here that we're
I'm just waiting for the Weather Channel to go, I'm sorry, all of our weather balloons have gone down.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to snow today or not.
Yeah.
There was this F-16.
They missed the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
And they got it the second time.
That's right.
It's only a million-dollar missile.
Oh, boy.
This has been a pleasure, as always. But we always have one question to ask at the end of the show. So I'll give you a chance to think about it while I summarize what we talked about.
Last year it was a different question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what does success look like to you? It doesn't have to be the success of Suka. It doesn't have to be anything about business. Just the question we've been asking everybody is, what does success look like to you?
But
listeners, we were talking here with Steve, CEO of Suka. We got to talk to him about the same time last year, and we're adding on top of the topic of leadership. We talked about habits, what things that we can generate. The habit of no snooze, making sure you start your day off correctly. Doesn't mean it has to start at 3 in the morning, but the idea of starting off on a positive foot, pre-deciding, which can be interpreted so many different ways, but if you can make less choices, you'll have less fatigue and therefore make better choices down the road. Doing the hard, right things, not taking the easy way out. You'll more than likely have regret if you choose to go the easy way versus making the right hard decision. And you first leadership, something that Sukup Manufacturing does very well, is making sure that their employees are put first, their needs, their wants, their desires, and the things that they may not even realize they need or would make their quality of life better, they do all together in general. So that was a little summary as to what we covered here. Steve, what does success look like to you?
Well, to me, it's one that people want to be around you. I'll use a couple examples. There's, you threw that one out there. A month ago, I had the opportunity. We're going to take 10 days off, and we'd never done a, my wife and I had never done a catamaran sail down in Bahamas.
Very cool.
And so, and I was all game on. I've got a scuba license and stuff, so I love water. But we had a few people we asked that, oh, we got this going on, this going on. And then I had another group I just sent out the email to and immediately responded, let's do it. And so it was like, man, I like that responsiveness. And so it's a little bit like the plant, too. You know, we've got a manager, too, that does the all call. Hey, can you come to my office? You know, da-da-da. And it's like, I've never done an all call. I've never done a deal for somebody to come to my office. I just have a steady stream of people going, hey, what do you think? I'm working on this.
Sure.
And trying to be that reinforcement, or just say, yeah, that's the direction. Go with it, and let's see how it goes. So I guess business-wise, that people just show up in your office and say, hey, what do you think?
Yep.
And you got that going. And then for the off hours, that people sort of want to hang with you. So
that's a good answer.
Yeah.
I like that.
Very good.
Absolutely. Corey, do you have a challenge?
Yeah, it's going to be out of this. I would say kind of that going around the terms of thinking of the people around you, maybe not even necessarily in business. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your family. Raise them. Think about them. Because a better them is going to bring you up as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good. Yeah. This was a pleasure, Steve.
Hey,
Sukup Manufacturing.com. What's the best way for people to look up your products, put an order in if they want? Go to the website?
Go to the website. We've got all our dealers listed. And through all of our, between myself, Charles, Emily, Matt, Nick, the whole crew there, dealer calls in. They're asking for us by name. The dealer will have said, yeah, I just talk to him within the last month or so.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good. No, that's great to hear. And again, thanks for letting us come hang out with you at Nash Farm Machinery Show.
Oh, this has been perfect.
Yeah.
So we've loved you the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And so we'll keep putting the game plan together.
We'll be with you at Farm Progress and Husker Harvest. Too,
absolutely. Listeners, and until next time, have a good one.
Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long.
Folks that don't know about Fastline, I mean, we really our goal and our mission is to connect buyers and sellers within the agricultural community and that space, right? And we really started as a print publication, and we've really blanketed the entire United States with our catalogs, with our sales teams, you know, out there really connecting the farmers to those equipment dealers, and then other everybody else, you know, that's looking to sell items within the ag space. If you guys go check us out on Fastline.com, we've put this in place for you all. We've got this feature out there. It's called Price Comparison. And it's really more in play for some of the larger pieces of equipment. Obviously, more volume pieces of equipment, I should say. Tractors, combines, things like that, you know, sprayers, planters. You know, but we've got price comparison out there. So it's a tool. It can help you out there with your shopping to make sure that you're getting a decent deal out there, right? That's something that we support. We're the only one in the industry that has something like that.